Save South Africa and the Ahmed Kathrada Foundation announced on Thursday at the Gordon's Institute of Business in Johannesburg that they will be hosting a civil society conference aimed at tackling corruption as well as state capture. And that is, of course, due to take place next Tuesday on the 18th of July. The conference for the future of South Africa is due to take place on the struggle stalwart Nelson Mandela's birthday, as the organizations feel that they have a contract with Madiba to safeguard and nourish democracy for present and future generations. More than 1,000 people from various sectors of society are expected to be there. Organizations expected to attend include Save South Africa, Outer, Section 27, the Ahmed Kathrada Foundation, the Council of Churches, and many others. I'm now joined on the line by Nishan Bolton, who is the Executive Director of the Ahmed Kathrada Foundation, to tell us a little bit more about this conference. Nishan, thank you so much for your patience. Welcome to Talk at Nine.
Thank you, and thanks for the opportunity.
Now, the conference is called For the Future of South Africa. What exactly is it that you are hoping to achieve? Are you suggesting that the current path that we are is one that will end in a zero-sum game that's going to take us nowhere? And more importantly, do you believe that you have a mandate to, in fact, discuss the future, considering that the government that we have at the moment is, in fact, an elected one?
Well, I think, firstly, any group or organization or individual has a right to be concerned about the future of the country. We derive our mandate from the more than four or five civil society forums that we've hosted in Gauteng.
Right.
And ultimately those forums resolved that on the issue of state capture, what was really required at this point in time was to bring together the widest range of civil society formations to talk about how to tackle this, how to eliminate it, as well as how to build state integrity and the role of civil society in that. Because we think that there's been a whole range of different initiatives spearheaded by various formations within civil society, but with very little coordination and national impact to date. And hence this particular initiative that we are now attempting to pull together. As I said, this comes from, you know, we've had gatherings of over 50 civil society formations, mainly from Gauteng, but many of them having a national footprint as well. So we derive our mandate in the technical sense from that.
Okay.
But as a foundation in Save South Africa, we would derive our mandate from our particular core purposes and objectives as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, this idea for the future of South Africa, you know, what is it that you are attempting to do, Nisham? How does one, sketch together a future, considering that we are in an era of state capture, that it is real, that serious parts of the state are in fact have been repurposed for private accumulation? How do you even go about arresting some of the decline? Let's, for example, start with the security cluster, because we focused a lot on some of the state-owned companies and so on, but it's in that cluster where people are not able to hold people to account. For example, in the case of the Gupta leaks and many other investigations and reports, whether it's from the former public protector, the SIU, it actually all piles up at the Hawks or at the NPA. These structures are effectively captured. They haven't done their work, Nisham. How does a conference like this address taking those institutions back and getting them on the right footing to begin to do their work?
Well, in two levels. One, in a very practical way. If you look at the initiative launched by Corruption Watch and the Institute for Security Studies last week,
yes,
a very, very novel campaign for the first time to look at how do we get societal involvement as well as pushing for greater transparency in the appointments, particularly of the head of the Hawks,
yes,
and the National Police Commissioner. And I think that in the press conference where this campaign was launched, the discussion really was that how do we broaden that particular perspective so that we take the lessons from Corruption Watch and apply it across all appointments in the public service. Now, that kind of practical work has not been done to the extent that it should have.
Yeah.
I think we've left it at a very abstract level. Corruption Watch, I think, has shown us on a very, very practical way how this can be done.
Mm.
Obviously, there are time frames in terms of we're not sure when those appointments will take place. But if the processes that they are advocating for finds resonance, particularly amongst the police minister, then I think it allows for a completely different approach, both from Parliament, both as well as from civil society, in terms of how these appointments are done, how people are screened, the kind of criteria for appointments as well, and oversight that needs to be played by Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
So a conference of this, sorry?
No, go ahead.
So that's the one level. I think what this conference will also begin to do is to precisely answer your question. How exactly do we root out state capture and how do we take its perpetrators to justice? I think the conference will talk about the proposed independent judicial commission and what we think its particular terms of reference needs to be and how, whether there are any other mechanisms besides the judicial commission. The investigations into the Gupta leaks, I think, presents a range of information that we have also been liaising with different portfolio heads within Parliament before they took the decisions to initiate particular investigations. And that's what needs to be strengthened from civil society itself and its own contributions and oversight there. And I think lastly is an overall sense of vigilance by civil society formations with all of the information that they have, where and how to make use of that information, which authorities to take it up, and how to continue that pressure. I think the problem in the last few years has been that it's been an ad hoc application of pressure. So we do something for a while, it doesn't yield results, and then we leave it. Whereas what is in fact required is for particular organizations to identify focal points where their strengths are, and with the support and the mobilization of the rest of civil society to begin to apply those areas of pressure. And in that context, I think you've seen the success of the Black Sesh. You've seen successes of a number of other civil society formations. What you haven't had is a comprehensive range of support mechanisms from everybody else around initiatives that have possibilities of success.
Absolutely. And of course, the important thing would be to ensure that it is also nationally coordinated. It's just gone 10:45. I'm in conversation with the executive director of the Ahmed Kathrada Foundation, Nishan Bolton. We're going to go for a short break, but when we come back, we continue the conversation to talk about this all-important gathering that's happening on the 18th of July. It's a range of organizations that are coming together deliberate on what they call the future of South Africa. They speak about the importance of honoring the contract with Madiba to safeguard and nourish the democracy for present and future generations. It's coming up for 12 minutes to 11 o'clock. This is Talk at 9 on a Sunday evening. I'm Karima Brown with you until 12 midnight. I'm in conversation with Nishan Bolton. He's the executive director of the Ahmed Kathrada Foundation, and we're chatting about this all-important conference that is going to be coming together and that's going to be held on the 18th of July. It coincides, of course, also with Madiba Day, and a lot of organizations discussing what exactly they can do to imagine and to put in place the beginnings of a mass action program that will create a South Africa for the future that is safe for future generations. And of course, it comes against the background and the context of state capture. Nishan, one of the issues that many organizations have raised is that whilst one can go to court in as many instances as possible, and whilst the judiciary has been playing that role of safeguarding, the rule of law and ensuring that governance happens within the legal parameters and within the constitutional framework, what you also need is South Africans taking action. You need active citizenship. There's talk of a national shutdown. There's talk of there's of course also the vote of no confidence if it does happen, if the speaker does provide a secret ballot. I suspect if she doesn't, opposition parties might take it to court and the matter might be further delayed. But take us through some of the practical things in terms of mass action that these organizations are contemplating to bring about the changes that they envisage and to reclaim in a sense some of the important institutions that have been captured for purposes other than what they were established for.
So if you look at the way Cape Town is a wonderful example, there's a great coalition there around a hashtag Unite Behind.
Mm-hmm.
What that coalition has been doing is going to all of the communities in and around Cape Town, running mass workshops with hundreds of people around the issue of state capture, simplifying it and linking state capture to the day-to-day hardships that people are experiencing.
I think that's really important, Nisham. We've seen some of the pushback on social media and so on, people accusing those involved in mass action around state capture of forgetting struggles of poor people, marginalized people, struggles around access to land, struggles around a more inclusive economy. How important, Nisham, is it to explain state capture within the context of working class struggles, of struggles against the intimidation of journalists, the gangsterism and the drug addiction that you're seeing on places like the Cape Flats, the land hunger that we see in many of the informal settlements. How do you make those links, Nisham?
Very simply, I was in a forum yesterday discussing or facilitating a forum between provincial government, local government, the communities of Lanesha, El Dorado Park, Nansfield, and Slovo Park on the issue of vehicles that are being stoned on the N12 freeway. And I think when people listen to the constraints that the police themselves have, the lack of resources that they have, they were able themselves to begin to draw the link between where resources are being squandered and where they actually are needed. And that's the kind of linkages that we are drawing on a day-to-day basis, not only here, but in many different parts of the country, between failing infrastructure, failing services, and highlighting the kind of information that is being unearthed every day through the kind of the email leaks and other information, which shows that the cost and the wastages that state capture has in fact brought about, but also the kind of findings of the Auditor General from municipalities themselves, as well as provincial governments. And when we quantify, and nobody has an exact figure, but these runs into tens of billions of rands, and what that actually means for the day-to-day lives of people, had that money been available and had it been allocated properly, I think the kind of fires you're seeing of buildings in Joburg, the decaying infrastructure on roads, and so forth, are day-to-day issues that would have been able to have been addressed, or at least there would have been resources available to address them. And in that context, I think we begin to draw the link.
Mm-hmm. Now, the issues around the organizations that are coming together, you spoke about the fact that many are from social justice movements and so on. Are you also going to be engaging political parties, trade union movements, or are you keeping it, civil society-based, NGO-based? How broad is the organizations that you're going to be bringing together, Nisham?
We're taking the broadest definition of civil society. And for now, that would be excluding political parties or those who have representation in parliament. So we have been talking to all of the trade union federations. We've spoken to speaking to all of the business formations. And we have been speaking to all of the national faith institutions as the major institutions of our country. Then we, the second, at another level, we've been talking to all of the human rights formations in our country, all of the foundations and civil society organizations, women's groups, research organizations and academia, and in the last few weeks, organizations of young people and women as well. So we see this as really a gathering of the wider spectrum of civil society, almost to the, we might not get to that point now, but hopefully in the months and weeks and months to come.
Yeah.
What you want is a gathering that will grow into the kind of infrastructure that the United Democratic Front had, where in which you found sporting associations and all kinds of formations who in this case, our intention is any institution that thinks that state capture is wrong and that something needs to be done about it and who is prepared to do something about it is more than welcome to be at the conference.
Now, Nisham, the Ahmed Kathrada Foundation, apart from all the work around state capture, what it also does a lot of is fight racism, and you've been very active in that. Now, organizations such as the Black First, Land First movement claim to be speaking on behalf of black people and claim to be saying that people are worried about the Guptas and people are worried about Jacob Zuma. But the real problem is, in fact, racism in South Africa. And they are tackling that issue. And, of course, everyone who's not agreeing with them are, of course, agents of white monopoly capital. We've seen Bal Pottinger apologize for effectively race baiting and choreographing a narrative that sets different racial groups up against each other. And of course, race remains and racism remains a key driver of inequality and exclusion in South Africa. How does the Ahmed Kathrada Foundation link the struggle against racism to that of state capture? And what is your answer to thugs and hired crowds like the BLF who think that they are the authentic voices speaking on behalf of black people?
Well, in the first instance, in response to your last point, we don't recognize them as the authentic or legitimate voice of black people. I don't think black people have one voice per se in this country. This particular organization has not tested its strength in any kind of democratic process. And I think if they were to do that, they would in fact find themselves, I would be surprised should they even receive a couple of 100,000 votes at all. I think their entire modus operandi is to come across as being thuggish, loud, and they would out scream instead of out argue anybody. So we are also mindful that it's alleged that a lot of their funding, in fact, comes from the Guptas themselves. I think that if you look at the kinds of glossy inserts that they were able to put into newspapers in the past few months, for an organization that didn't have money a few years ago or about a year ago to suddenly have that kind of resources, it's evident where it came from. We experienced that thuggery at the military museum when there was a small silent protest against the prayers that were happening by the Guptas there. And they essentially pulled up there as defenders of the Guptas, chased everybody away. It was very clear who they were there to protect. So we are very clear as to who they are there to protect and whose voices they are in fact echoing. For us, the issue of racism is central to resolving the issues of this country. It's embedded in the DNA of post-apartheid South Africa. It's systematic, it's personal, it's cultural, it's entrenched in a lot of the practices of institutions and the policies of institutions. And we do work on a day-to-day basis, albeit on a limited scale with the resources that we have, educating people about it, building coalitions both locally and nationally in terms of a capacity of organizations and individuals to stand up to it, to fight against it, And we offer advice and training where in fact it is required. So if you look at some of the court rulings recently on the Mombek case and others, the foundation was instrumental in taking those issues there, and we are now being called upon the courts to in fact assist in remedial measures where in fact they have that's part of the judgments.
Now, Nisham, the Bell-Pottinger PR company, they have now publicly apologized. They are suggesting that that they were misled, that it was the work of one or two of rogue directors. As an organization that works toward dealing and fighting the scourge of racism, does the Ahmed Kathrada Foundation accept the apology of Bell-Pottinger?
Not really. I think once we understand the full extent of their involvement, once we understand the full detail of their work here, who they advised, what the content of that was, and how much they were paid for, and how much they were paid to do this kind of work, then we would be able to be in a position to say whether we accept the apology or not. I think what they've done is a start, but without full disclosure, it's perhaps meaningless at this point in time.
All right, we have to leave it there. Thank you so very much, Nishan Bolton. He's the executive director of the Ahmed Kathrada Foundation, speaking to us about the Future of South Africa conference, which is taking place on Tuesday, the 18th of July.